tell to all of my friends is that all of my issues, it's a me, Mario. Woohoo! Mamma mia! You guys, you're number one. Woohoo! Are you number one? Ho ho! Wait a second, bro. Here we go. Woohoo!
Hello, internet, and welcome to All of My Issues. In this episode, episode 15, we talk about one of our other favorite topics, which happens to be music. But before we get into that, let's talk about Geek Fuel. If you're anything like us, and let's face it, you probably are if you're listening to this podcast, you enjoy geeky things, and one of the best ways to get your monthly geek on is to subscribe to Geek Fuel. Geek Fuel will send you a box monthly filled with comic book, gaming, sci-fi, and pop culture related materials. Right now, if you go to our website, allofmyissues.com, and click the Geek Fuel link, you can save $3 off of your Geek Fuel subscription. So you can use those $3 to maybe buy one of these songs we're going to talk about. All right, let's get started and enjoy. Hello, internet, and welcome to another episode of All of My Issues. I'm Rick.
I'm Sam.
I'm Chris.
All right, and today we are going to talk about our top five songs that are geek or comic book related, have some sort of little tidbit in the song that makes it like a pop culture related reference that is, I don't know, related to something that we enjoy, I guess.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
So, I guess without further ado, we'll get started.
All right. I think I'm going first, right?
All right. That sounds good.
All right. My number five, which was not my number five until last night when I was checking to see if there was any songs I missed, and I found this, and I don't know how I've lived my entire life without hearing it before. It's a song from 1969 called Nobody Loves the Hulk. By a band called The Traits, which is led by a man named Roy Head. It was a mail-away song. There was advertisements for it inside Marvel Comics in 1969 and 1970. You could order the single that way. And it's, I don't, kind of like a rockabilly, late 60s driving beat, surf-style music. I don't know what you call it exactly. But not just the fact that it's called Nobody Loves the Hulk, but just because of lyrics like poor Bruce Banner was working in his laboratory when he saw Rick Jones about to go up in a blaze of glory.
Before Bon Jovi.
Yeah. Yes. Well, Rick Jones goes up in a blaze of glory and John Bon Jovi gets shot down in a blaze of glory.
Oh, that is true. That's true. Yeah, yeah.
Different directions of a blaze of glory.
Yeah. Down.
No Emilio Estevez here.
Chavez!
It's got some really great and really awful lyrics. My least favorite lyric, they shot at him with H-bombs, but the Hulk only became annoyed. All he wanted to do was to settle down and get employed. But nobody loves the Hulk.
Nobody loves the Hulk.
It's actually a really fun song. I'm going to be adding it to playlists because it's just fun to hear.
When you mentioned this song, and we were kind of talking about this a little bit before we started recording, I vaguely recall seeing the ads for that in like the inside pages of Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
I've never heard the song before.
Never until last night. I'm so thankful that we thought of this idea for a podcast because...
Absolutely, yeah.
I've gone too long without hearing it, so...
Yep. I totally agree. But it's funny because it's like I distinctly recall seeing those ads in there, and it's so funny that... It took until now.
It did. It took until now. And realistically, I mean, 69, the Hulk was only, what, 6 years old or so?
Yeah. That's true, yeah. So that's kind of, yeah. So maybe one day we'll get those X-ray goggles too.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for my batch of sea monkeys.
Oh, man.
I actually did own sea monkeys once.
I did too.
I was entirely disappointed that they did not actually set up a little castle and read the paper outside of it.
I was too. Because I don't think mine ever actually survived or were ever actually alive.
Oh, mine just, were. I had living ones.
Did you see mine? Oh. I don't think ever took off because... Well, they're brine shrimp, right?
They're brine shrimp.
Yeah. So
they're just little, like, little wormy things that live in the water and don't do much of anything.
Yeah, mine was paying rent for a time. And then they moved to the suburbs.
Looking for more opportunities.
I guess, yeah.
It's hard out there for a sea monkey.
It is. I mean, hey, you know. What can you do? You got to move to the city.
You got to move to the city. I'm like, what the heck?
All right, Sam, you want to go next? That's all right.
Now
I'm going to
be thinking about sea monkeys. This is the next one, Sam. I'm sorry.
And you're welcome.
I need a picture of the old school sea monkey drawing, like getting a factory job.
Well, how was work today, honey? It was stressful. My number five. I'm gonna go a little off script. I don't know if it really referenced. It does like mention not a particular superhero, but a hero in general. And from the Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire, the original Hero, sung by Chad Kroeger, who was the lead singer of Nickelback, and Josie Scott, who, if I remember correctly,
Saliva.
I just remember watching this video, and you know, I was excited because Spider-Man was the first time seeing Spider-Man on the big screen, and they were like on the video, they were like on the rooftop singing to each other, and it's kind of like this big bromance. I think it reminded me of David Bowie and what's this?
Mick Jagger.
And Mick Jagger. That's what it kind of reminded me of. And they're just like, and the hero will save us. I'm just like,
you know what? Now that you, I like, when you first mentioned this song, I couldn't remember the song, but now that you're describing the video, I can totally.
I think even Spider-Man like swung by at a time. It was just like, what are you guys doing?
I unfortunately remembered the song immediately.
Did you really? Because I was like, oh.
I don't like to make fun of artists in general because I know it's hard to go out there and put your work on display, but man. I really hate Nickelback.
Yeah.
I have come to the conclusion that they came up with their name because someone at some point paid 5 cents to see them in concert and immediately asked for their Nickelback. So, you know, I guess this gets a slight pass because it's on a Spider-Man soundtrack.
Well, there you go.
With a Stone Sour song that I liked better. It doesn't mention heroes at all and have no idea what it has to do with Spider-Man whatsoever, the Stone Sour song. But I'll let it pass. But,
Yeah, Nickelback is hard, you know. Canada, what are you doing with that? Nickelback and Justin Bieber. Seriously.
And then Leonard Cohen dies.
Yeah.
Why couldn't you? I'm not going to wish death on someone just because I don't like their music. But
I mean, you know, I guess you got to give Nickelback some props, though. They're somehow still immensely popular.
You know what
somehow,
you're getting with Nickelback. You know, I will say this. You know what you're getting with Nickelback because their first album, before they really hit it big, was Heavier.
And
some of my friends really like that one. But you know what you're getting, and it's just kind of straightforward music. So hey, if you like that, I'm not going to say you're stupid for liking it. That's just not my thing. I find their music to be shallow and pedantic. No, I'm just joking. That's a Reddit joke. I don't care for it.
I just thought the video was hilarious.
The video is hilarious.
I was like, I'm good, man. Yeah. This is awesome.
I'm sorry. I've never crapped on anyone's choices before, so it's nothing personal, Sam.
No, I'm fine.
We don't judge you in any way.
Yeah.
If you do, and anybody that's listening, if you like Nickelback,
hey, more power to you.
Yeah. Maybe our podcast isn't for you.
Yeah,
that's no, fine. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that.
I am. And Nickelback will come down from Canada. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And shall smite the A.
With Avril Lavigne.
Are they still married?
Or no, it wasn't. It was Avril Lavigne and the guy from...
It was Sum 41.
But
she, they're divorced, and I think she's with Chad.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh, how am I not? This is crazy. Really?
Yeah, I don't know if they're still together. I think she might have broke his heart, but yeah, that happened.
Seems really weird.
Yeah. Why'd he have to go and make things so complicated? Yeah,
wow. This is really, really, I know, kind of
he doesn't
my
strike
mind
you
a
as a
bit.
Skater boy, does he?
No.
That's what I'm like. What? That doesn't even make sense because, you know, although I don't know. Well, anyways, I guess we'll get on to my number five, which is I didn't go with anything related to Chad Kroeger. So okay. I'm going to go a completely different route.
All right, I'll go back into my nerd cage.
I chose a Weezer song, which I think kind of embodies all of the qualities of a nerd song.
Mm-hmm.
The song I'm referring to is called In the Garage.
Okay.
And, the song starts out, I've got a Dungeon Master's Guide.
What?
So, you know.
You had me at hello.
Exactly. It's, and I'll be the first to admit, I've never actually been too into AD&D, the actual board game, but I've played the electronic versions of the games, the computer games, and I've loved those for years.
When I was younger, I played Dungeons & Dragons, and for years now, I wish I knew somebody that was playing Dungeons & Dragons that I could be a part of a campaign again. Not that I was ever that into it, but it was just fun to get around and be asshats to each other.
That's what I've heard. And I think a lot of people that I know that have played Dungeons & Dragons, that's what they're into. They're kind of mm-hmm. just that the camaraderie.
It's so bad that I actually watch a YouTube video of professional voice actors playing Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, wow.
Called Critical Role. And it's 2.5 hours a time. And I will sit and I've watched the first, I don't know. I'm way behind, but it's fun.
Yeah, I think I played Dungeons & Dragons a few times with some friends. I actually went in college. I was the priest.
And
I had like this one cool power where I can like, I guess I could throw an object and like force it to come back. And it was pretty cool.
And I mean, even, you know, Dungeons & Dragons, it's like the precursor to all these other games, you know.
Exactly.
Would we have World of Warcraft without Dungeons? Yeah.
No.
Yeah, so.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
Oh, that's all right. Well,
I'm all about the Dungeons & Dragons.
D&D.
So, mm-hmm. Once they get past their... But, you know, going back to the Weezer song in the garage, once they get past the references to 12-sided die, they also talk
What's
about...
next?
I've got Kitty Pryde.
What?
Yeah.
And?
Nightcrawler 2. So, yes, indeed. So, like, two X-Men characters referenced in the song as well.
It's X-Men rock.
And there's a number of other references.
Also
to
Excalibur characters.
Excalibur, that's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is true, yeah. So, yeah, this song, you know, I think it just... This is all about... everything I guess our podcast is about.
There you go. Yeah.
So that's why I chose this song. And also I happen to really enjoy this song.
Yeah.
I like Weezer as well.
It's a good song. And that's a good CD album.
It is. I have fond memories of that album.
Just on a side note, I was looking at a Kitty Pryde action figure at work yesterday. And I was so excited that it had Lockheed
in there. Oh, man.
I was like, oh, Lockheed.
I wish they would somehow, like, make Lockheed show up in one of the movies at some point. I've always liked that little dragon character. So,
all right, so we're going on to number four.
Number four,
I can't say is necessarily a great song that I love, but it's a good song, and it's a song from an era when you didn't really hear a lot of geeky things in mainstream culture. And this song is Superman's song from the Crash Test Dummies from 1991, which was their first single, also from Canada. A very unique baritone voice.
Absolutely.
Their other big hit, obviously, being
the
song.
Yes,
this song is a eulogy for Superman being sung at his funeral, comparing him to Tarzan. It brings up something interesting that that Superman, that Clark Kent, could have had anything he wanted in the world. At any point in time, he could have broken into any bank, could have done any of that. But instead, he just was content to be a lowly news reporter at the Daily Planet. And and it has probably, out of all the things in here, this might be my favorite actual lyric. Just Superman never made any money saving the world from Solomon Grundy.
I was, you know, if you weren't going to say that lyric, I was going to, because that lyric is just awesome.
That lyric alone would put this song on my list.
Yeah. That's because how many songs have references to Solomon Grundy?
Right. Not Lex Luthor, not Brainiac, not Darkseid, not any of the large pantheon. Yeah,
they dug deep for that.
They went to, you know, I don't even know what he is, a zombie of some sort.
Yeah, some kind of weird.
Giant zombie.
Yeah, villain. Giant zombie.
Frankenstein creature. Zombie. Undead thing. But I think that song came out right around the time when Doomsday actually killed
Superman. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it was kind of, you know.
Kind of fortuitous for them.
Yeah.
You know, Tarzan wasn't a ladies' man.
Yeah.
Could just come along and scoop him. just come along and scoop him up under his arm like that, quick as a cat in the jungle. Clark Kent, now there was a real gent. He'd not be caught sitting around no junglescape, dumb as an ape, doing nothing.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. Boom. There you go.
Serious shade.
Dropping the mic.
Yeah.
Dropping the mic on that one. The I will say this to you. Like, out of all the Crash Test Dummy songs, that's my favorite one by them.
Oh, by far, yeah. You know, I like it better than the song.
Yeah.
It was his girl.
Yeah. And they had that one other song, that Afternoons and Coffee Spoons, too. I like that song. But Superman's, that one, the Superman song is, I think, my personal favorite.
Yeah. Catchy.
It is catchy, yeah.
All right.
That's all I've got to say about that.
My number four, it comes from 1997, the Batman and Robin soundtrack.
Oh.
And that is R. Kelly's Gotham City. Now, again, this is one of those where the video just cracks me up because, you know, he is singing, "I'm looking over the skyline of the city, how loud, quiet nights in the midst of crime, how next door to happiness lives sorrow, and the signals of solution in the sky." And basically, he sings this as if it's like a church anthem. You got him and a choir singing, "Gotham City!" And they got the choir singing back, "Gotham City!" And, you know, he's got everyone in Gotham City singing the song. And I just never understood how this song got in this movie, to be honest with you. It's like, wait.
And now that you've said that portion, because I wasn't really familiar with the song you were talking about, once you got into it and described it a little bit further, now I know exactly the song you're talking about. Yeah.
So
I'm still not sure that I've ever heard this song.
Yeah. You have to YouTube it and look up R. Kelly's Gotham City, and it's just
When I think Batman, I think R. Kelly.
Okay.
R. Kelly.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, wouldn't you normally?
Yeah. And when I think R. Kelly, I think peeing on teenagers.
That's it, yeah. When you were saying in the midst of crime, I was thinking of other types of mists. I didn't really want to, but... Yeah. And I don't remember, did that come out before or after?
That was That came up before the incident.
The misting.
The misting.
Before the misting.
The misting of the young ladies.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah. Because he was still popular. He was still, you know, that was like, I Believe I Could Fly. That was like after Space Jam.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so they're like, oh man, I Believe I Could Fly is great. You know what? We need you to do a song for the Batman soundtrack. Oh, okay, I'll do that. Yeah. Gotham City! The sorrow! I'm like, what?
See, Gotham, just being near Gotham changed R. Kelly.
Exactly.
Yeah, it corrupted him, I think. You know? Yeah, yeah.
The city. That's why you need a Batman.
That's why you need a Batman.
Because it takes powerful people and changes them. And
then he wouldn't be trapped in the closet either.
No, he wouldn't be trapped in the closet.
Oh, man.
400 parts.
All right. I guess now that we're done talking about R. Kelly's particular...
The misting.
I'm never done talking about that. So yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, okay.
Proclivity for witness.
Yeah. There you go. Yes, yes.
Did anybody watch the video?
Oh, I didn't.
No, I didn't either.
No. I didn't either.
Yes, yeah, yeah, whatever.
I heard about the video though.
There's a video?
There's a no.
All right. Gotham City!
Alright, well, I guess we'll segue.
Thankfully, that's not Gotham City.
Yeah. That would be.
That's the German version.
Maybe that was the first song that he turned into Warner Brothers. He's like, hey, I wanted to do this. No, you got to go a different route.
Can you clean it up a little bit? Well, when I'm done. Oh, you mean the song. Okay.
R. Kelly, that's not the route we want to go.
You don't want to go that route. But,
oh, man. Okay. So my number two. Look at that. Whoa. Ba-dum boom.
Straight to number two.
I guess actually it's number four. So we're going 5-1. So we haven't hit number two yet.
No. But number one's just as bad.
And number one is just as bad. Yeah. All right. So my number four is you would call it a remake. It can be found on the album of Saturday Morning Cartoon's Greatest Hits.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's Ramones doing the theme song to the old Spider-Man cartoon.
Oh, okay.
I think it's just perfect for the Ramones to do this song because it was always a kind of a fast-paced song.
Oh yeah.
You know, and a fun song and all the Ramones songs are just like that. They're fast-paced and they're fun songs. I enjoy the Ramones and you know, them doing this song, this cover of the Spider-Man theme song couldn't be more fitting for them to cover. And I just love it.
I loved that song when I was a child.
Yeah. And how can you not, you know, you just want to sing along.
My mom still tells the story of me knowing the lyrics as like a 2 year old or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Connor Bub.
Yeah. Catching thieves just like flies.
Is he strong? Listen, Bub. He's got radioactive blood.
That's awesome.
I can't make fun of that song at all.
I can't either.
It's the Ramones. Yeah, not that I'm here to make fun of everything, just R. Kelly and Nickelback.
Sorry, Sam. It's two selections in a row.
Oh, my gosh. What's going on here?
Yo, they're just ganging up on me.
Actually, the song might be wonderful. I don't know.
Yeah. It's the artist.
It's the artist. Yeah. Just shooting down my songs. What the deuce, man?
Why are we going back there?
Oh, man.
Do you want to have anything else I'd like to say about the Ramones?
I don't really have anything else to really say about that song.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's about, you know, it's the themes on the old 70s Spider-Man cartoon.
Mm-hmm. It's classic.
And it's classic, yeah.
That is my earliest Spider-Man memory.
That is mine, too, as well. Exactly. Even though the animation wasn't fantastic or anything, it was just cool to see that in a cartoon and at the time. You know, our expectations weren't super high as far as cartoons go. And, you know, that met all the needs at the time that we had for animated entertainment.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. It is, to me, always disappointing when I go back and watch something that I thought was so incredibly awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I had no taste when I was four in terms of aesthetic qualities. But
yeah, yeah.
Like, I was that way with Speed Racer. I thought Speed Racer was the greatest thing that's ever existed. And then I saw another, and I was like, oh, my gosh, the monkey's cringy, you know?
Yeah.
I was a Speed Racer guy, because I was like, they're showing the exact same over. Even as a little kid, I was like, why is Speed Racer talking like that?
Yeah.
Well, see, here's the thing with me. When I was watching it, I could never catch the episodes in a row.
Yeah, then that always bugged me, too.
I still don't know if there was an ending to the show.
Yeah, right.
Like Rocky and Bullwinkle sometimes. It was like...
We did that, too, yeah.
I was like, what happened? What happened to the last episode? I literally watched it for 3 days straight.
Yeah, yeah.
You kids today don't know what you have.
Yeah, the struggles we had.
The pre-internet struggles.
Exactly.
Of watching shows and orders and Netflix and being able to binge things. And
exactly.
You would... Yep. Guess what? If you weren't home on Tuesday and you missed the A-Team, you weren't watching it until summertime.
Exactly. When it had reruns. Story continuity just didn't exist.
Right. And almost every show was standalone episodes that didn't tell like a big story. But if it was something that was telling a big story, you were going to miss it somehow.
Yeah.
And you tune in next week and be like, oh my gosh, they killed Mr. T.
Yeah, what just happened?
B.A. Baracus is dead.
Oh, what's man. Going? How are they going to resolve that? And then
he comes back. I pity the fool thought I was dead. I pity him. And there you go.
Comes walking out of a helicopter crash.
Exactly. Or, you know, since we're talking about A-Team, my favorite episode is the one, and I might be, this might be a deep cut or whatever, but there's one where they have Murdoch.
Howling Mad Murdoch.
Howling Mad Murdoch. Locked up, I loved him too. Locked up, and he's screaming, "I want some trash bags." I don't know if you guys remember that at all.
Nope.
Look it up though, because I looked it up probably, I don't know, a few years ago. It's on YouTube. That scene that I'm talking about, it's on YouTube. Look for it, and it's as enjoyable watching it now as it was back then, because it's something he's just chanting in prison, and it's just great.
When I was young, he was my favorite of the four.
Oh yeah, yeah. Him and B.A. Baracus.
Yeah, well, I loved B.A. Baracus, but I always liked the funny characters, and Howling Mad Murdoch was funny.
Yeah, he was awesome.
I was just trying to figure out how Hannibal kept that cigar in his mouth throughout the whole episode.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, do you ever smoke that thing?
Yeah. How it seems like, you know, they were always able to make something out of like steel drums and you know, whatever they had available.
Like, you guys are MacGyvers.
Yeah, exactly. They were MacGyvers before MacGyvers.
Exactly.
Like, they came up with crazy Mad Max vehicles. You know? They're like, oh my god.
Yeah.
These guys are like, amazing.
We got a couple hours. Let's fortify the town, you know?
Yeah.
I don't.
It shoot automatic weapons, but don't kill anybody.
Exactly. Somehow they were able to not even wound anybody.
Right. Just shoot around. Nobody died, ever.
Yep. Nobody died.
All right. We get sidetracked a lot, folks. So.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Our segues have segues.
What's this podcast about again?
I don't even know anymore. Heroes and... P.
It's
all right. Going on to number three. My number three is it's a song from 2004 from the album Three Cheers for. I guess, man, I can't even read my own writing. I forget the name of the CD. I own it, and I don't remember the name. Three Cheers for Sweet something or other. whatever. Anyway, it's My Chemical Romance, The Ghost of You. At first sight, at first listen, I guess would be more accurate, you don't even know it's comic book related because there's nothing in the song, theoretically, that would tie it to an individual comic book. It sounds more like a song of loss. The video is a wartime video, like an old-timey World War II video. But the title is based on an advertisement in The Watchmen.
Hmm. Is it really?
Yeah, it's based on an advertisement in the background that says, "Oh, how the ghost of you clings." And Gerard Way is a huge comic book fanatic.
Yeah.
Writes some comic books. I forget what it's called. Umbrella Academy, I think.
Yeah, I think.
Okay.
And he's done some, I think, moved on to some more mainstream work, but I can't tell you who it is because I don't remember. And a huge comic book fan. So I respect that he went
that route. I know the song you're talking about. And I had the reference to Watchmen. I had no idea.
Yeah. And the song itself probably isn't that much. Yeah. If I wouldn't have happened to have seen that trivia written someplace, I wouldn't have never known.
Yeah. That's cool. I like that. You heard it here first.
There you go.
Unless you heard it before.
Yeah. And then you heard it here second.
Yeah. We're back at number two.
Everything
comes back to
full circle.
Yeah, sir.
Damn, okay. You are, Kelly.
I don't know. Why are we back at number two? We were talking about P originally. I don't know.
But we're still on three.
Gotham Shitty.
Gotham Shitty.
This is like Evan Costello, who's on first. I don't know who's on third.
And now we're just making assumptions of R. Kelly's personal preferences. Of
what's the name of the guy on first base? So that's my number three.
That's it.
My number three, 1997, from the group Our Lady Peace, Superman's Dead. And that was the time of, you know, me in high school and hearing that song. I was like, you know, cool, Superman's dead. No, I just loved it was one of the songs I listened to in high school. And it referenced basically, you know, that was Superman in the comics around that same time also. So I just put that on my list, on my radar as one of those songs that I remember. So, Our Lady Peace, Superman's Dead.
Yeah, I always liked that band, actually. Yeah. I saw them live one time, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of making me feel really old that you were in high school when that came out.
Well, because it was senior year.
Makes me feel old.
Yeah. It was senior year. I mean, I graduated.
But still, though, I'm like, remember, I'm like, oh, yeah, well, I saw that.
What was their other big song?
We're gonna.
They're also Canadian. You got a lot. We got a lot of Canada represented.
Yeah, we do.
I know. Well,
representing our brothers up north and sisters.
That's right. You Canadian listeners.
Yeah, give us more Our Lady Peace, less Nickelback.
Yeah,
that's all we're asking.
We love you and your poutine.
The poutine. Oh, you know what? I wish poutine would take off in the U.S.
Yes, for sure.
Because that's like the best thing ever.
You should put it on crackers.
They should.
Poutine on the Ritz.
Poutine
on the Ritz. Oh, man.
Oh, I did that.
Let's see. We got
dad jokes.
Our Lady Peace songs. We got Clumsy.
That was it. Yeah. They had a couple other hits, though.
They did. Innocent, but that's the one.
4 a.m.
4 a.m. Yeah.
Somewhere Out There.
Yeah, Somewhere Out There. I remember that one. That was one of the
From an American Tale? No, I'm just joking.
Let's see. And One Man Army. Angels Asleep. All You Did Was Save My Life. Right Behind You. So those are some of Our Lady Peace's songs.
So suddenly this podcast has become the all Our Lady Peace podcast.
Yeah, exactly. That's most of their songs from Toronto, Canada.
See, there you go. That's See, even.
I am hitting the Canadian.
I'm telling hitting you. It up, hitting it up. I do like that band though.
Yeah,
and it's you know, I wouldn't mind hearing from them again.
Yeah,
if you guys are listening. Okay. Let me go on to my number three. Which is a Megadeth song. And it's from the album Rust in Peace. And it actually references the Punisher. The name of the song is Holy Wars, Punishment Due. So the first portion of the song is not really Punisher related, but
it sounds more like Off to Fight. Well, what year was that from?
You know, I know this came out when I was in high school. So,
I feel like it was around the time of the first Iraq War.
You know, I was actually reading about this, and I think the reference is actually to some sort of Irish battle. Yeah, which kind of surprised me because I thought it also was around the time that the Iraq War was going on. So that kind of actually surprised me as well. Mm. So I that maybe the reference is wrong, but I had always thought that too up until we started looking up information about this podcast. So I was like, really? That really surprises me. But
yeah, Dave Mustaine.
Yeah, yeah. The first part, I you know, totally not related to the Punisher. About more or less civil unrest related to religious beliefs and stuff like that. And Dave Mustaine, as he is, he's very opinionated about, you know, fighting battles for, you know.
Dave Mustaine's opinionated on everything.
He is. That's for sure. But apparently inspired by the Punisher for the last portion of the mm-hmm. song, because it kind of does this whole little segue and changes up a little bit. So, yeah, last portion. Punisher related, and also when the song came out, it was probably at the peak of my Punisher fandom. I was really a big fan of the Punisher at the time the song came out, and you know, fond memories tied to that and the Punisher. So,
right. David Stein has such a unique voice.
Yeah.
If you're really looking at like the big four metal bands at the time. Or so, I think they're on that list along with Metallica. Probably.
Yeah, because I always thought of them kind of like, I thought Metallica, Megadeth, Anthrax,
Slayer.
Yeah,
that's the big four.
I think at that time.
Yeah. His voice is very different than the rest. The rest are very you know, deep and guttural, and he's
Mercy Killing. He's got that like little weird kind of, which is a Mercy Killing is one of the lines from the song as well.
So yeah, my favorite line from that song is, well, it's, you know what, I shouldn't say it's my favorite line for the song. The part that ties into the Punisher, because if I say it's my favorite line from the song, it makes me sound really
morbid. Yeah.
Creepy.
So yeah, yeah.
My favorite part is they killed my wife and my baby. Yeah. With hopes to enslave me. Yeah. First mistake, last mistake. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. First mistake. last mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paid by the Alliance to slay all the giants. Next mistake.
Yeah.
No more mistakes.
That's
So
and that sounds like something the Punisher would say.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, The lyrical genius of Dave Mustaine.
Yes.
All right. And he's not, I don't think he's Canadian, so.
Not California, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh.
They know how to party.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. When you drink so much that Metallica kicks you out of their band.
Yeah.
That means
you can party.
Yeah. And that's Rolling Stones level right
there. When the other members of Metallica look up and say, you know what?
This guy's out of control.
This guy doesn't know how to stop.
Yeah. The band that you know, partially name themselves after vodka.
All right. My number two.
Yes, we got there.
We're dropping the deuces as we speak. heavy metal legend Tori Amos. of Why Can't Tori Read fame. On her first solo recording from 1992, it was called Little Earthquakes. She had a song called Tear in Your Hand. It's a breakup song. Nothing. I mean, it's a pretty song. I have a fondness for Tori Amos and did then, still do to some extent. However, I am a huge Neil Gaiman fan to a ridiculous degree. Love The Sandman especially. I like his novels. Like everything he does. Met him at a signing. But
I've yet to meet him yet.
Did not know what starstruck.
Talk. That would be how I would.
Yeah, I was awkward, and all I could say is thank you so very much. And he said, "You're so very welcome." In his Neil Gaiman voice, yeah. So I was like,
oh. All British-y and stuff. Yeah.
In the song about this breakup, it's kind of talks about escaping it, and it says makes the comment, "If you need me, me and Neil will be hanging out with the Dream King."
I do remember this song now.
And then it says, Neil says hi, by the way. Apparently, that song is how she became friends with Neil Gaiman. To the point where they're very close now. She was a character in Stardust.
Yeah.
Some people think Delirium's based on her, but he claims it's not.
Yeah, I'd heard that as well.
And he made a children's book specifically for her daughter.
That's awesome.
I
saw Tori Amos in concert sometime in the mid 90s. I can't remember exactly when, but in one of the the concert books that they had, Neil Gaiman actually did the intro.
He's done several things. And when she did Scarlet's Walk, I think it was, he did the entire CD liner notes, I think. And so I think it's cool when they have a good relationship.
That is cool.
I also like that she does, because I'm a huge Nine Inch Nails fan, and that they would always do things back and forth. Where he would put something in a song about her.
Make my own pretty hate machine.
Yeah.
That being a line.
Something... Talking about some girls in the playground, talking about their Nine Inch Nails.
So.
I met Trent Reznor one time.
Did you?
I waited on him at Boris Bookstore.
Yeah.
And he came in and he bought some books and gave us a credit card. We looked. It's like, hey, dude, okay. All right. Here's your stuff. And like a whole group of us just I don't know if I can say this, well, Portis isn't around anymore. We blacked out we made a copy of his signature, blacked out all his other information, and was like, hey, we passed out, like we got his autograph, we got Trent Reznor autograph.
When he left the store, did he fade into darkness?
He disappeared into the crowd. He took his stuff. Walked, the crowd just covered, went in back of him as soon as he walked past them, and then he was gone. The doors didn't even open.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So it was like, man, I just met Nine Inch Nails.
That's awesome. That's pretty cool.
So that's my Nine Inch Nails story.
I'm jealous, Sam. I didn't know.
I gotta see if I can still find it. So
a brush with greatness.
Yeah, I know.
I think I called some of my other friends, were like, hey, I met Trent Reznor.
Do you know who that is? What?
So, our one friend, she would have went crazy. So, but yeah. So I'm gonna go.
I'm done with my deuce.
You're done with your deuce.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna drop a big deuce here.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with the guy. My number two. I'm gonna go with the guy who we all know and love. He started in the 80s, with his parodies of different songs. I'm going to go with some Weird Al Yankovic, a 1999. Oh, yeah. The Saga Begins, talking about the whole Star Wars saga and going through all that.
And so, you knew it was only a matter of time.
Yeah.
Weird Al was going to cover that.
Yes, you know. Exactly. And, you know, between that song, his Yoda song, all about the Pentiums to Amish Paradise, you know, Weird Al Yankovic.
He's so a legend.
He touched them all. Yeah, he just.
So it's a shame that he would not, if he was not on this list. So he's on here for The Saga Begins. And, you know, it talks about the Star Wars trilogy and Darth Vader's path to Anakin, as Anakin, then to Vader. And
well, he may be Vader later.
Maybe Vader later. Maybe.
But now he's just a small fry.
Now, exactly.
I love that song.
That is.
That's to take an epic song like American Pie and turn it into that is just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
Mad props for that choice.
Yep.
Thank you, Weird Al. Thank you.
There's nothing bad to say about that song. You can't crack on it. It's just, it's classic Weird Al.
And he's not Canadian.
No, he's not. And he doesn't, as far as I know, he doesn't pee on groupies.
Yeah.
USA.
USA. We're not the worst.
Wait, R. Kelly is American, isn't he?
Yeah.
You are such a dream shatterer, man. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why suddenly. Man, what's the line of that song that I absolutely love? Something about now the man I admired most went up with Darth Maul and now he's toast.
Yeah.
I'm still here and he's a ghost. Yeah, I don't know. He's very good with the lyrics.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he is. He's awesome. All right. My number two.
What about your...
My deuce.
Your giant deuce.
Yeah.
Super deuce.
Super deuce.
All right. Mine is from Tim Burton's 1989 Batman movie. Right around... and, you know, I kind of blame part of the Batman craze that was going on at that time from this song, at least in part. You know, I think probably some of the visual elements from the video inspired a lot of that craziness. It's a Prince's Bat Dance. Yes, indeed.
I'm not gonna lie. Last night, as part of research, I watched this video.
And
I listened to this song for the first time probably since 1989. That's when it came out, right? 1989.
Yeah, 1989. Yeah, yep.
And Vicky Vale.
Vicky Vale.
She likes Batman.
Yeah, yeah, she does. She does.
The song is... unlike some celebrities, I don't want to piss all over it, but yeah. It's not good. I respect Prince as an artist, as a guitar player. He's amazing.
And to go back to the guitar part in the song, I think is the strongest part.
Oh, sure.
Because when he does that little solo, like midway through it, you know, other than that, most of the rest of the song is like snippets from the movie.
This town needs an enema.
Exactly. Yeah. And where's the Batman?
So I'm just trying to understand when Warner Brothers, went up to Prince, it's like, hey, we need you to make a song for this Batman movie.
Like, R. Kelly's over here trying to poop on people. What can you do for us?
Well, and he's probably like, I got this idea. I'm going to be half Batman, half the Joker. I'm going to wear that.
Yeah.
You know.
But I don't want to be the Jack Nicholson Joker. I want to look much more like the Cesar Romero Joker.
That's
right. It was like this is so bad. Prince, I can't give you a pass on this one, man. This is so bad.
But it's the guitar playing though. Because I remember watching it just. Like, you know,
I liked it in 1989.
I did too.
I can't say not ironically or anything like that. Yeah. I just generally was like, it's got Batman in it. I gotta love it.
Yeah, yeah. But the song in general, it is.
It's just, in hindsight.
Yeah, it's not.
But people were doing the dance too, and that was a crazy thing. I was like, what are you doing? This is
Chris Elliott, you know, inspired Chris Elliott, the carpet Batman symbol on his forehead.
Right.
Okay, that's a weird David Letterman reference, but
hilarious.
Yeah.
I just it's just bad.
So, and I didn't we were talking about this with the cartoons 2 seconds ago. I was not expecting to go back to something because it was going on to my list. And then
to go back and see.
Yeah, and then I put it on a completely different list.
Like, oh, Prince, no.
My Gotham shitty list.
the Gotham shitty.
And I wondered, I was like, well, oh, that was good, Prince. I know it was. Goodbye. Right.
And then, like Trent Reznor, he fades off in the darkness.
Well, he goes in the flood. Prince will like just float away in a flower with the rainbow and the unicorns.
So, yeah, that's
he's gone. Like, goodbye, everybody.
And you know what that would happen? And no one would blink.
No one would blink. Like, oh. No.
It'll that's just, how Prince travels.
Exactly. It'll just be another Charlie Murphy story, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And he left on a unicorn that traveled on a rainbow.
Oh, man. All right.
So, are we on to number ones?
We are on to number ones.
Okay, so... my number one song is from 1994, and it is a song by The Cure. It's called Burn, and it's from the Crow soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
And there was some debate on whether to include Ghost Rider by Henry Rollins / the band Suicide because of its amazing lyrics. But
I think we still need to talk about that later, maybe.
Yeah, possibly. Yes, it is. I went with Burn only because of this. In James Abar's comic book, The Crow, he quoted a lot of bands from that time. He had an entire page of lyrics to a song by The Cure called The Hanging Garden. And so when they were making the movie, they approached The Cure about possibly letting them use a song of theirs, thinking it was going to be that one. And Robert Smith apparently liked the book. And he said, well, why don't we just write you a new one? And so he actually wrote it about The Crow, the graphic novel. Just a couple lyrics to point out. In the comic, The Crow tells him not to watch as his girlfriend is dying because he'll always see it. And the first lyrics of the song are, don't look, the shadows breathe, whispering way away from you, etc., etc. And then later on in the song, just paint your face, the shadows smile, slipping me away from you. Doesn't matter how you hide, I'll find you if we're wanting to. Then the lion says, so slide back down and close your eyes, sleep a while, you must be tired. That is directly from the comic book. He cut somebody's feet off. They slide down the wall, and he tells him to sleep a while. He must be tired after he's getting the information out of him and stuff like that. This guy bleeds to death, and it ends with that. You know, every night I burn and dream the crow black dream. So it's nice to have a song on your movie soundtrack that's actually about the movie.
Yeah.
You only ever see that from Queen with Flash Gordon and the Highlander.
That is true. That song is actually probably my favorite song on that soundtrack too.
Yeah,
which in that entire soundtrack is. It's super strong, I think.
I can
go back and listen to that. And
Nine Inch Nails doing a cover of Joy Division. I mean, there's just a lot of good stuff going on in there. Yep.
That was the first time I got hip to STP, so.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah. There's STPs on there.
And the
Henry Rollins Ghost Rider song.
Ghost Rider Motorcycle Hero.
Yeah, it's...
Which you found out was
a cover. I had no idea it was a cover of an old song.
That astounds me even now because, you know, I love Henry Rollins, but to me, I for the longest time I thought that was a song that he probably just phoned in, where he kind of like it sounded like he just tried to come up with a song that was, you know, like they approached him saying, "We have this movie. It's a comic book based movie.
Mm-hmm.
What can you give us, Henry?" And he, like, you know, in my mind, I imagine he was thinking, oh, comic book character, Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
You know, then what does Ghost Rider look like? And then he just kind of went through what Ghost Rider looks like and made a song out of it. But
yeah.
The fact that it's a cover that's like completely destroys that whole thought process I had about how Henry came up with that song. So, but still.
I mean, rides around town with his head on fire.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. I mean.
No, but it's if you want to look it up, it's from a band from 1977 called Suicide, who got their name from an issue of Ghost Rider called Satan Suicide.
Oh, there you go.
Which is completely crazy to me.
Yes. Crazier is that the song sounds nothing like whenever Henry Rollins does it. Yeah. It's just like a synth pop group.
Yeah, that is pretty shocking as well.
So that's my number one.
All right. Well, my number one, I think we kind of just mentioned.
Number one, by the way, being R. Kelly's favorite number. Just saying.
Our top five lists are never going to be the same.
I thought his number was, the favorite number was under 18, I guess.
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh!
That's true. That's a minor
any
fact.
Any number under 18. <That's a> minor...
Dad jokes!
Oh. It just keep coming. Oh, my number one is, and it's fitting that it's number one because, well, he saved every one of us. And that is Queen's
Flash. Savior of the universe.
Savior of the universe. I remember just singing that song after watching that movie for a long period of time.
Yeah, I can't think of Flash Gordon without thinking of that song. It's impossible to separate the two.
I can't. You can't say the word Flash to me, even about the speedster, without me wanting to go.
I totally agree. That's, yep. Thank you, Queen.
Thank you, Queen.
Yeah.
I mean, like the 80s, the early 80s, if you wanted a good soundtrack, you called Queen.
Yeah. The Highlander soundtrack is one of the songs from there, almost made it to my list, too. So.
Yeah. Oh, you know, yeah. Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Who wants to live forever?
That was it?
Yeah.
With
Brian May singing a large portion of that song. I had no idea until
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I saw the video. I was like, what are you doing lip syncing?
Yeah, what? That is crazy.
Put Freddie Mercury back on the screen, Brian May.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, I can't talk any smack about Queen whatsoever.
No.
It's a fantastic choice.
Exactly, yeah. They ruled the 80s soundtracks.
That's right.
Without a doubt. Wish they were around longer so they could have done more movie soundtracks.
Yeah, can you imagine?
I think they could have did a Rocky soundtrack.
They could have done a Rocky soundtrack?
Yeah.
What would they have done with a Bad Dance, I wonder?
I don't know. That would have been interesting.
Yeah.
Would you like to dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Yeah.
Something.
Something, yeah. All right.
Man.
That's... All right, I guess that brings us to my number one, which is an MC Chris song from the album Life's a Bitch and I'm Her Pimp. I looked it up and I had to just share that because I was like, that's the best.
I have a new motto.
And the name of the song is, I mean, MC Chris has a lot of, you know, nerdy type songs, you know, that we could probably just, you know, throw a dart at an MC Chris album and get a song that has something that would probably fit on this list. But his most popular one the most popular one that I'm aware of is Fett's Vet.
Okay.
Which of course is referring to Boba Fett and the idea that he has a vet.
Okay.
So, you know, it requires a little bit of imagination.
I'm going to assume you're talking about a Corvette.
A Corvette, that is correct.
Not like a animal doctor.
Exactly. That is, yes.
Not
a former soldier. We're talking about the automobile. I mean, and maybe I should say, you know, it's the apostrophe vet. So, you know,
but, I mean, technically he did have an old soldier when he had Han Solo.
Well,
yeah,
he
was a vet.
Yeah.
That's wait, what's what was the?
But the lyrics though probably
probably threw it off.
Yeah. Because he talks about, you know, my backpack's got jets. Well, I'm Boba the Fett. Well, I bounty hunt for Jabba Hutt to finance my bet.
I got it.
So, yes. So that's probably also my favorite line.
Yeah. He didn't want a pod racer?
Yeah. You know what? I think this might be prior to the episode one.
To the prequels,
I think. I want.
It was.
Was it?
Well, it was right around the time of the prequels. I think it was right before it. I remember hearing it. Oh, gosh. Probably, well, it was probably right about 99, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was when the first prequel came out.
That's maybe. Yeah, maybe. We'll have to look this up. Let me
see. That's why the saga begins.
Mm-hmm. You know, I do want to point out that
this moment right here in the podcast is riveting.
Yes, as we all are Googling things, yeah. I just want to point out
because we didn't do the research earlier.
there are Corvette is a type of starship in Star Wars as well. Not related to Boba Fett,
is it?
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, the beginning intro to the movie Heavy Metal.
Wow.
Is that a Corvette, that flying car? It's going into space?
I have not seen Heavy Metal for a long time. I haven't seen
that
either,
but that just the image of that just for whatever reason just materialized in my mind, and I was like, ooh, that's a thing that I might have to see.
So actually,
2001, I think, is when this album came out.
Really?
So, yeah, so it is post episode one then.
It does make an appearance in a Kevin Smith film too, doesn't it? In Zack and Miri?
It might. When they're
making the Star Wars movie?
It might actually. It's been a while since I've seen that film too.
I have not seen that.
I saw that in the theater, and that's the only time I saw it.
That's the only time I saw it too.
All right, movie.
Yeah.
I like Kevin Smith.
Yeah. Can't really do this podcast probably without liking Kevin Smith.
Right.
To some degree. So.
Yeah. Yes.
That would be impossible. People, that's we just found out, yes, the MC Chris song, Fett's Vet, after at least episode one.
Right. So he could have written about Darth Maul.
He chose instead. He could have, yeah.
To write about Boba the Fett.
Boom. That just happened.
That did just happen. All right. I don't know if we have anything else to say about that song.
That's
it's pretty.
All right, ending strong here.
Ending strong, yeah. Those are our lists. What I will say is I did have another runner-up song that when we were coming up with the topics or coming up with the idea for this podcast, one of the songs that immediately popped into my mind is a Swedish heavy metal band by the name of Entombed. They did a song called Wolverine Blues. The only reason I really didn't include it is because the only thing I really know about that song is that the song exists. And I've only heard the song maybe a handful of times. And if I were to hear it now, I wouldn't be able to identify it as that song. So I didn't feel that it was fair for me to use that as one of my selections, but I figure I would mention it because it is comic book related and
honorable mention.
Yeah,
I would like to give you my honorable mention as well. Then it is The Lonely Man, which is the sad piano music from the end of every episode of The Incredible Hulk.
Okay,
I used to love that music so much. I would look forward as a child to the end of the episode so I could hear the sad, I can't hear this song without thinking of Bill Bixby
just walking off hitchhiking.
And no one picks him up.
No,
he didn't show a little leg. He needed to show a little leg
because nobody likes the Hulk.
that's true. We've learned that It's not easy.
It's not easy being the Hulk.
It's not easy being the Hulk, and
it's not easy being green.
It's not easy being green.
Yeah. Kermit told us that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
He did.
He enforced it.
But someday we'll find it.
Yeah, someday we'll find it.
The rainbow connection.
The lover, the dreamer, and me.
And me. There you go.
Phenomena. My honorable mention is Scott Pilgrim versus the World, though basically the whole soundtrack. The songs in particular are Threshold, Sex Bomb, and Black Sheep. Black Sheep was that was sung and written by the group Metric. And like Threshold and Sex Bomb was written by Beck and sung by the cast of Scott Pilgrim versus the World and Beck. So
no, I wasn't aware of that. Yeah.
So I
like that movie.
That is an underrated movie, and I just like the soundtrack. How it fit in. It's like you're watching a literal video game happen in that movie, and I thought it was a very good movie, underrated movie, and the soundtrack also was a good soundtrack.
Yeah, that's a movie that got a lot of critical acclaim, and the audience just didn't turn out for it.
Yeah, and it's funny because
it's a good movie.
It is. It's definitely enjoyable.
So
I've only seen it one time.
I have too. I've only seen it once,
but
I watch it every time it comes on TV.
Which it doesn't seem to be that often because I haven't
seen it. I do too. I've only seen it on TV once.
Who has it usually on? I think it's a TBS. I think TBS.
TBS seems to have all that stuff on there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's always
and FX.
There are movies that it doesn't matter what time of day. They're if it comes on, I'm watching it. Wherever part I see it, I'm watching it start to finish. Even though I own it on DVD, I'll sit and watch it with commercials on TV.
Exactly. edited version.
Yeah. An edited version of the Shawshank Redemption. Okay.
Yeah.
Braveheart comes on. Well, I guess this day's shot. Though it doesn't come on TV nearly as much as Mel Gibson since he started his thing.
that is true. Yeah. That's too bad because,
he's actually coming back.
He had a movie out,
Hacksaw Ridge. So,
which in my mind, it should have been about Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yeah. Hey-o.
Hey-o. Hey-o. USA.
Wait. USA. We're going back to that.
We're not the worst.
Wow. I shouldn't say poor Mel Gibson, but.
Yeah,
what I should say is what happened to you, Mel Gibson? Yeah. I mean, he gave us Braveheart.
The Patriot.
Yeah. Which is kind of like an unofficial sequel to Braveheart.
Mad Max.
That happened in the future.
Mad Max. Thunderdome.
Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Payback. Whatever that was.
Payback.
Yeah.
Wasn't there What a Girl Wants or something? Or
something like
that.
Oh, gosh. Oh, jeez. Oh, we've gone there, have we?
Yeah.
All right, we'll go back to Bird on a Wire. Boom.
There you go.
TBS, Bird on a Wire.
That's based on the name of a Leonard Cohen song, Bringing It Back to Canada.
Boom. Right there. Wow. All right. Well, I guess that ends our podcast if you're still listening. And if you are, thank you. Because you probably thought this was going to go somewhere, but.
Our digressions are the journey.
That's it.
It went to Gotham City and back.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we'll sign off.
All right. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter
and
all the social media sites,
Instagram, All My Issues. That's what allmyissues.com, allmyissues@gmail.com.
Yes, allofmyissues@gmail.com. Email us ideas if you want a top five.
Boom.
We'll do our best to accommodate.
Yeah. and maybe not ramble on as much as we have.
No, we will.
Yeah, we probably will. That's part of
our digressions have digressions.
That's part of the enjoyment of listening. You have no idea what you're going to get.
Yeah. You think you're getting a top five and you're getting R. Kelly peeing on underage kids.
We're still on. Well, at least I'm talking about Nickelback.
Yeah. I mean, right,
at least we've moved on from Ape Love.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if we've moved on in a positive direction or not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right.
Later.
Hello, everyone. It's Rick back again. I just want to let everybody know about next episode. Next episode is going to be a pretty special episode. We're going to be talking to comic book artist Ron Frenz, legendary comic book artist. So make sure you check into our next episode. Thanks again.